Like to open the House Committee on Consumer Protection and Government Accountability. It is February 11th, and committee, we have three bills on our agenda today. I am going to start at the bottom of the list, and we're going to be in work session on these bills. So with that, I will open a work session on House Bill 3699. Patrick, would you remind us what this bill does?
I sure will, Mr. Chair. House Bill 3699, we heard way back yesterday. This bill allows a partnership or joint venture to offer or submit a bid to perform construction work if the name, partner, or joint venture is properly licensed and endorsed for work. It would take effect on July 1st, 2010. There are no amendments, no fiscal impact, no revenue impact to this bill. And that's where we are, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Riley.
I move House Bill 3699 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Riley moves House Bill 3699 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Everybody, I guess, remembers the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like it was a long time ago, but I guess it was only yesterday. So, there's nothing. So, with that, Cindy, could you call the roll, please?
Representative Winger?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative
May? Aye.
Aye.
Representative
Wisnett? Aye.
Representative Matthews?
Aye.
Vice Chair Killian?
The Vice Chair votes aye.
Vice Chair Riley?
Aye.
Chair Holden?
The Chair votes aye. House Bill 3699, having received the required votes, is passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Carrier for a joint venture bill. Representative Krieger? Thank you.
I'm bored. I got to do something.
So with that, I'd like to open up a work session on House Bill 3624. Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 3624 is the bill that requires appraisal management companies to register with the Appraisal Certification and Licensure Board. It establishes standards for appraisal management companies, prohibits them from attempting to influence appraisals, altering completed appraisal reports, replacing certain requirements on independent contractor appraisers. The bill directs the board to establish a dispute resolution process and authorizes the board to impose civil penalties. It would take effect upon passage. In your packets, we have three sets of amendments. The dash three amendments were brought to me by Representative Wingard's staff. Those amendments would replace the original measure. They would create a definition of appraisal management companies, prohibit persons from contracting with appraisal management companies for performance and appraisal activities, require persons contracting for appraisal to contract with a state certified or licensed appraiser, and would also declare an emergency and take effect upon passage. Then we have two additional sets of amendments that are, with one exception, identical. Both the dash four and the dash five amendments delete the instances of the term independent contractor, specify that all affiliate of a financial institution or insurance company may not provide appraisal management services without registering as an appraisal management company. It deletes the requirement that the statement of audit results include the use of the term passed or failed. It deletes a specific period of time in which the appraiser must be paid. It adds a statement of purpose. Deletes references to appraisal management companies as it refers to reciprocity or registration. Deletes language granting authority to the board to establish requirement for qualifications and training of appraisal management company employees. Revises language relating to audits of appraisal management companies. Replaces language prohibiting or the alteration of appraisal reports and allows a modification of appraisal reports to consider the valuation of other comparable properties. The one difference in the dash fives and the dash fours is that the dash fives specify that an appraisal management company may not charge a client more than 110% of the amount paid to the appraiser who performed the real estate appraisal activity. That's and you have fiscal and revenue statements for the dash fours and dash fives in the packets, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Committee, I know we have, before I take a motion on this, I did want to you know, recognize that Representative Winger did have a an amendment, and I appreciate the concept, and but fear that it may cause a pretty large disruption in the lending industry, perhaps. I don't know if it would or not, but I appreciate his position on that and somewhat share his position on that, but out of caution to what it might do to the real estate market, I'm not sure I want to take this committee down that road. So I hope you take that as a note of appreciation and also a note that I am a little bit cautious on that. The other amendment, the Dash 5 amendment, gets to an issue that I think really needs to perhaps happen in this particular industry, and that is putting a cap on what appraisal management companies charge. I have got, and my committee members, probably many of you have, I cannot keep up with the emails on the cases of what's going on in this state with appraisal management companies, and what they are paying appraisers for their appraisal reports has literally cut their fees in half, and yet they are increasing the cost of appraisals to the lenders, which in many cases these lenders own the appraisal management companies, and this really doesn't look good to me as such, and I'm very alarmed at that and think that a cap would solve that problem, albeit it's an issue I want to continue to work on. And so I'm going to be wanting to move the bill without the cap right now and continue to talk about a cap in the future. I have talked to the realtors, and I had a meeting with the financial lobby, and they offered some suggestions, and the realtors offered some suggestions. The appraisal board and appraisers have offered a lot of suggestions, and I've tried to put a lot of those pieces together to come up with something that we could do right now. It's the chair's opinion, and I think many of the members on this committee, that this situation cannot be put off. We can't wait till next year to figure out what to do with this problem. I'd love to read some of these letters for the record. We have appraisers going out of business, appraisers that have been in the business for 20 years, not because there's a lack of work out there for them right now, but because they can't afford to live on the fees that appraisal management companies are willing to pay them for their reports. And also, they are looking for outcomes on the appraisal reports. They're telling the appraisers, this is the outcome we want at the end of the day for your appraisal. They're telling them also, we want the appraisal back in 48 hours. And if you can't accomplish those things, you'll have to find another appraisal management company to work for. You can't be on our panel. They are squeezing appraisers out of this industry, and I think it's unconscionable that the entities that own these appraisal management companies are acting as such. Having said that, I know that there are some legitimate appraisal management companies out there, so I hope that those ones that are out there will heed the industry's past performance and recognize their integrity that they need to maintain in order to provide valuations to our communities, to our lenders, to make sure we have a sound real estate market. I'm just really appalled by what's gone on, and albeit the federal government in its wisdom has probably propagated this situation with new regulations with the Home Valuation Code of Conduct, which is, I guess, meant to protect the appraisal integrity, but they've instituted that code of conduct, and it has required appraisal management companies to come forward to manage appraisals, to create a buffer zone to try to protect that integrity of the appraisal, but there is nobody, watching the appraisal management companies and holding them to a standard to make sure the appraisal process remains, sound and also ethical. So I believe it's imperative for this state to act on this now. That's my position on this bill. Representative Wingard.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the Dash 3 amendment so that I can explain, and I'd also like the opportunity to cast that vote to make the statement that would follow my explanation on those amendments.
Representative Wingard moves the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 3624. Representative Wingard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My understanding of the history of this situation is that we had a lending scenario where banks were hiring appraisers to appraise property in the in the midst of loan proceedings, and that the general feeling was that undue pressure was being placed on appraisers. And so out of a essentially a legal settlement that occurred on the East Coast, the solution that everyone settled on was to create this middleman for all intents and purposes, which we now refer to as the appraisal management company. And from all the evidence that we've seen, that intervention of an additional regulation, if you will, resulted in zero effect on the problem. And the AMCs, according to the appraisers, have simply taken over the role of the bank in applying pressure to them on their appraisals. So, unfortunately, I was dismayed when the issue came before us that the remedy to regulation, which did not work, was going to be more regulation rather than to address what I think is at least the first step when you try something and it doesn't work is to stop doing what isn't working. And so the point of this amendment is to end the practice of using AMCs in Oregon. The bill had to be carefully crafted because obviously this is a legal settlement. It has to do with whether people have relationships. Their loans are going to go up to Freddie and Fannie Mae. But my understanding is that banks essentially have two choices. With a firewall, they can do this in-house, or they can use AMCs. And there are apparently is a bank or two in Oregon that are not using AMCs. So I know this can be done. And I think that it would be my preferred alternative to simply do away with a quasi-government-imposed remedy that didn't work, then essentially up the ante, double down, and try to regulate the quasi-government entity we created that isn't working. So I would hope that we'd have the votes to do that. I always strive to find the more elegant solution to what I know are very complicated problems that are presented to this committee. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Wingard. Again, we don't have fiscals on that particular amendment, but I am, as a courtesy, going to allow that vote to go forward. And so, Cindy, could you call the roll, please?
Good question before we vote.
Representative Smith.
So if we voted that amendment in, does it mean we can't move the bill because we don't have the fiscal? Without a suspension of the rules?
That is probably correct. And as chair, I am not advocating for an aye vote on this particular amendment.
You aren't. Let me write that.
I think he's telling you not to vote.
I heard that.
That was subtle.
I appreciate the subtlety.
Sometimes I feel I need to be a little subtle.
I can write that down. You want me to write that?
I appreciate it.
Cindy, could you call the roll, please?
Representative Wingard?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
No, sir.
No, sir.
Representative
May? No, ma'am.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative
Wisnett? Aye. Representative Matthews?
No.
Vice Chair Gilliam?
Aye.
Vice Chair Riley?
No.
Chair Holby?
No. The Dash 3 amendments, having not received the required votes, is failed. Representative Riley, I'd entertain a motion on the Dash 4 amendments.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 4 amendment to House Bill 3624, dated 2-10-10.
Representative Riley moves the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 3624. Discussion? Representative Wingard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment would not be my second choice. It would probably be my 402nd choice in alternatives. But I do believe this is a problem that needs to be resolved, and therefore I will be supporting the amendment and the bill. I'm still hoping that the parties can get together and find a better solution that everybody can agree to. And I would also ask the chair, I'm curious if he'd be willing to entertain, maybe even on a Senate side, putting a sunset on this to drive the parties to find an alternative solution than the one that we're pushing through the special session.
You know that. Thank you for that, Representative Wingard. I appreciate that. You know, I think that you know, as far as the sunset goes, it would draw at least a conversation together. However, there would be a danger of no resolution coming from that conversation and the bill disappearing. And I guess I'm not willing to go there. I do make the commitment that I intend on having a work group on this subject matter on appraisal management companies through the interim going into 2011, and to continue to work with the stakeholders in this to fine-tune this piece of legislation going forward. If it is deemed to be necessary to fine-tune it some more. I think that conversation needs to happen. I'm not sure what that fine-tuning will be, if any, but that is my commitment, Representative Wingard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Krieger.
I hadn't, Mr. Chair, heard you talk about a work group to continue to look at it during the interim. I think we've identified there's definitely a problem. I don't know if I got any more emails on any one subject as I have on this one. So I'm going to support the bill, but I don't think it's the total solution. Now, those people have got to come together and give us the type of bill that they can come together on, so you know, we don't have this division. It doesn't need to happen that way.
Yeah. Thank you, Representative Krieger. I agree with you, too, but I think doing nothing is more dangerous than doing this. Thank you. No other discussion on the dash four. Cindy, could we have a roll call?
Mr. Chair, could I see Patrick a minute? I don't.
We'll stand at ease.
I'm much more happy saying
we'll come back into order. We are we have a motion on the table on the dash four amendments. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Cindy, would you call the roll, please?
Representative Winger?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Tomei?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Wisnett?
Aye.
Representative Matthews?
Aye.
Vice Chair Gilliam?
No.
Vice Chair Riley?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye. House Bill 36, dash four amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Riley.
I move House Bill 3624 as amended to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Representative Riley moves House Bill 3624 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Patrick, we have the fiscals and revenue statements. All the paperwork's in order.
Mr. Chair, all that paperwork should be in your packets. If not, I have a copy.
And there is no subsequent referral on the bill.
There is no subsequent referral. If you'd like, I could explain the fact that there are...
I just wanted the statement.
Yes,
thank
absolutely.
You.
There is no subsequent referral, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Cindy, could you please call the roll?
Representative Winger?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Tomei?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
Aye.
Representative Wisnett?
Aye.
Representative Matthews?
Aye.
Vice Chair Gilliam?
No.
Vice Chair Riley?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye. House Bill 3624, having received required votes, is passed the floor with a due pass recommendation. I think the chair will carry that bill.
Pass the bill.
Good thought.
With that, I'll close work session on House Bill 3624.
Chair, we passed the bill. We did the amendment into it.
No, we did. We did.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I just want to. Can I?
I'll stand at ease.
Change his vote. Well,
session on House Bill 3615. Patrick, would you explain the bill, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair. House Bill 3615 includes insurance and loans and extension of credit in the definition of real estate goods or services. For purposes of the Unlawful Trade Practices Act, it would declare an emergency and take effect upon passage.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3615 without recommendation to the Committee on Rules.
Representative Riley moves House Bill 3615 without recommendation to the Committee on Rules. Is there discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Matthews.
I am finding myself in a very uncomfortable predicament, but I would like to say I've been heads up and up front with everybody involved in this issue. I would like to make a few statements for the record, if it's okay.
Absolutely.
You know, this bill, I think, merits conversation. And I certainly want everybody to understand that I certainly understand what we're hoping to do at some point. But when I look at the breadth of this and how broad the scope is and what this potentially can do to my community banks, let's be real honest. I mean, the angst is in large banks. It is in large financial institutions that may have taken bailout money, that may have misled people, that may have made egregious acts, and I understand that. But I want you to keep in mind that for me and my district, I am passionate about protecting the people that are providing commerce within that industry. My local bankers are an important part of Gresham. Riverview Community Bank, ran by Casey Ryan, is a personal friend of mine. That doesn't come into politics. It's just simply a friend. I happen to know that Casey meets in the morning, goes through his overdraft procedures, and he waives 85 to 90% of them so that he understands completely who comes through his door and has a $12 overdraft, and he doesn't want to find those folks because their family's struggling. He gets that. Mike Jaka, I have an M-Bank, State Chartered Bank, M-Bank, headquartered in Gresham. Mike Jaka invested a great deal of money to make that start. It's a community bank struggling right now. Every time we throw a dart out there to say, we're going to take on the big bank, and we impact these small community banks, we're not doing ourselves any favors, and we're not doing our communities any favors. In order for us to get successful and move on down the road, we have to look out for the little guy. And yes, I'm quoting the credit unions. Sam, at my credit union, runs my account and has for 24 years. They're good folks caught up in the middle of what we're trying to get at. And quite honestly, this bill doesn't do it. And we're fooling ourselves if we pass a bill that says, we're going to go after the banks because it's popular. I know people are fed up and they're frustrated. But guess what? They're not upset with the community bankers. They're not upset with their credit unions. Let's not identify everybody as saying, you're the bad guy in this, because you know what? We're going to need every business and everybody on the rope pulling us out of the jam we're in. And the further we alienate ourselves in this building, the more problem that we're going to have. And I am not a grandstander. By nature, firefighters work as a team. When you freelance, you get into trouble. This has caused me great pain. Let's not forget big banks. Charlie Boos, the number one mortgage lender, bailed us out of a big jam at U.S. Bank. He's the number one commercial mortgage lender in the industry for U.S. Bank. He's my banker. He doesn't act this way. Are we trying to get to Charlie? No, there's others like him, though, that get caught in the mix. So why would I be concerned, or why would they be concerned? It's a great question. Why should anybody care that we're going to go after them if they're not acting egregiously? Because we're giving them a private right of action. We're giving them anybody the ability to sue their bank. If you've ever been subject to this type of behavior, it's costly, and it's frustrating. And sometimes it's a settlement that everybody's after, and it costs a great deal of money. My money is tied in my community banks, as the majority of my community. Frivolous lawsuits, not to say they are, but I want to be clear about something. We had a presentation that basically said that all of our citizens are at risk here. And I believe on the contrary. I don't buy into that. I have researched this with DCBS. I've researched with our Attorney General's office. And the great news is, we do have regulations in place. We are following through. We are doing our due diligence. And we're performing those. I've got a stack somewhere in the midst of this pile. I can show you where mortgage lenders have been debarred. I can show you where $5 million fines with $1 million suspended based on inherent behavior. I can show you where these people, and mortgage lenders, pawnbrokers, name them, insurance agents. Quite honestly, I thought we were going to be looking at perhaps, I'm surprised we're moving that we want to move it to rules. I'm against it. And I want to be clear. Insurance agency, quite honestly, they're caught in the middle of this. They don't want to be a part of this fight. We're trying to do what we think is popular. You know what's popular in my community? When a guy like me goes and stands in the middle of a business community that's quite honestly not very happy with me right now.
Representative Matthews.
Please.
You need to stay in order, though. You cannot say what we are doing. You can say what you are doing. But
I appreciate
not
that. By voting on this bill, I'm making a statement that, quite honestly, personally, that I wouldn't expect to be held accountable for it. I can go explain to any group of citizens on why I would vote no on this and my commitment to serve for the future towards this. I know that I can call the AG's office, and they've been wonderful. Mr. Devanovich, John Kroger, the Attorney General himself, Shannon Seville, give me everything I've asked for. You know what they can't give me? Is any certainty on how a private attorney is going to act in a private right of action. I know that they can calm the storm in my community and talk about how this affects them by moving to the UTPA. What they can't do is be held accountable for every attorney out there that might want to use the private right of action for their personal gain. Now, let me be clear. I'm not attacking attorneys. I don't mean to do that. And I appreciate you affording me this opportunity. You know I've struggled with this. What this really comes down to for me, and I cannot get past, despite how hard I've tried, and I support you as our chair, and I support our caucus, our members, and I support this process. I don't want to embarrass this institution. I don't want this to come down to that. The bottom line on this is I can't get past this very, very philosophical indifference that we need to be litigious in the way we approach this. Do I believe we have to have further conversation? I absolutely do. Do I think the Attorney General has a say in this? Absolutely do. And as an agency, I look forward to him working on this because, quite honestly, my guess is perhaps we'll be seeing a narrow bill at some point that deals with the problem without the collateral damage. But I can't approve the bill with all this collateral damage, knowing what happens. It comes down to, quite honestly, I respect the work our state institution is doing now, as agencies are doing a great job. I've said it often in my town hall. I am forced at times to choose on being popular or being effective. I choose effective. For that, Mr. Chair, I'll be voting no. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate and respect your opinion. And I would say that, we struggle with these issues. I can share that we do have a lot of issues around this bill. And at the same time, we have, I can show you evidence where people have been harmed by lending institutions, insurance companies, and they don't really have the ability to take them on in court in the regulatory framework and succeed simply because they can't afford to. And the private right of action would protect some consumers. And so, you know, it is a policy decision, and you're entitled to yours, that's for sure.
Mr. Chair, I overlooked one issue there. Thank you. You're absolutely correct. It's a policy decision. It's a big policy decision. It's a huge policy shift. And to take this on in February, when we heard testimony, and please, overextended credit, I get that, and that's terrible. I have been there personally. The individual that represented the couple, and I even followed up and asked, so you're telling me within the statute's current, you were able to sue and be victorious, and restitution was paid, and the answer to that was affirmative.
In some cases. I don't want to get into a back and forth.
I appreciate
on this.
That.
You've had your statement.
Thank you.
And said your position. I appreciate that, and I respect it. But we made a motion to move this to rules. And is there any further discussion? Cindy, could you call the roll, please?
Representative Winger?
No.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Tomei?
Aye.
Representative Krieger?
No.
Representative Wisnett?
No.
Representative Matthews?
No.
Vice Chair Gilliam?
No.
Vice Chair Riley?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Chair votes aye. The motion not having received the required votes has failed. With that, I'll close work session on House Bill 3615.
Thank you.
Committee adjourned.
Committee? Next, do we have an agenda for next week? I believe we will be meeting on Monday to consider Senate bills. So
I should mention, Mr. Chair, we are now under... We just got announced this morning that the House committees for Senate bills will be having a 24-hour meeting posting notice for Senate for hearings on Senate bills. So we can post as late as tomorrow by 3:30 for a Monday 3:30 meeting.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Oh, Representative Wisnett, you wanted to make a comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
To get on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On 3624, I would hope that the chair follows through, and I will work with him and this committee on continuing to look at the AMCs. I don't think the bill, as it's been stated, does everything we need to do. I think it addresses one part of the problem. It doesn't address the whole issue. I think that we've got to find the right place to put oversight. We've left it where it was, and that's, you know, sort of the same. The people that are paying for those people to oversight, provide the oversight, are the same ones. I think that we need to look at another agency to oversight this. I gave the yes vote, but I hope the chair will, on the record, continue to work this to make it a better bill.
Yeah, I think I've already stated that, and I intend to do that. I appreciate your participation in that. Along with our core functions of government and a few other items we'll have on our interim agenda for sure. I look forward to working with you on those solutions. Anything further, Patrick?
We're good, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. With that, I'll adjourn the House Committee on Consumer Protection and Government Accountability.